The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Okay, in Hebrews chapter 3, you have a comparison of Moses and Jesus. And I'm telling you what, I know who comes out on top, and Moses was a great prophet, a great man, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not just in the house, he's the builder of the house, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And the house may not be the house you're thinking about, not a building, but a family, a generation. So this is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland. And we invite you to get your Bibles and join us if you can. If not, just listen as closely and as long as you can. We're in Hebrews chapter 3. Alex, again, Hebrews, just a book that goes deeper than most of us are comfortable going, if you want to know the truth, brother.
Exactly. I love how Hebrews 3 begins and calls Jesus the high priest of our confession. Isn't that a great title?
It is. And notice he uses the word apostle and high priest. Let me just share this with you. The apostle was the one who was sent from God, so Jesus was sent by God, and the high priest is the one that takes the people back to God. So right there in that two-phase term of his life, title, apostle and high priest of our confession, it shows what he has done for us and what he does with us. With a father. It's, again, just real great illustrations of who Jesus Christ is, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And as we said when we began Hebrews, the book is all about Jesus, and it's very in-depth. And we're going to get into some parts of Hebrews that are pretty deep, pretty complex. But yeah, let's camp out on a couple of these words here. Apostle, because generally in the New Testament sense, the word apostle means one who has seen the risen Jesus. But Jesus is the risen Jesus, you know?
That's right.
But you're right, Bert. It means an ambassador. And Jesus is the Father's ambassador, isn't he?
He is. And notice a word that comes before that. Again, it's so, I think really in the New Testament, the books that would take the longest to preach through verse by verse would be Romans and Hebrews.
Right.
And I really do believe that. But the word partakers of the heavenly calling, the word really is partners. In other words, we've partnered together. He's given to us, but we've given to him. And we're partners of the heavenly calling. How you like that calling, Alex, that he has called us to be born again, yes, but he's also called us to partner with him in the greatest work in all the world, and that's carry the message, his message around the world.
Exactly. You know, I love it when it says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even those that believe on his name. And we are the sons of God, if you're a born-again believer, partakers of the heavenly calling. But And by the way, folks, we have to chuckle because before we got into Hebrews, Bert and I had a talk, and we always talk and we plan, and we agreed we were going to go somewhat quickly because this is so rich. I mean, we could probably do the next 6 months on the book of Hebrews.
I think so.
But did you look at the word consider?
Yes.
Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. And the word there, consider, means to fix your eyes upon.
Amen.
Fix your attention on something, which is Jesus.
Someone said pay detailed attention, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, Alex, when you fix your eyes on him as the one who will guide you, but when you look at him in detail, he's the one that you will find no flaw. Just like the Lamb of God, they were to examine it before it was to be sacrificed at the Passover. Jesus, our Passover Lamb, you examine him and you'll find no flaw. So it has the idea of not just following him in that, but you can examine and have confidence in him as well, can't you?
Exactly. Let's talk about confessing. It says the high priest of our confession. Do you remember it says in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So it's a good thing to confess Christ. Bert, used to people would talk about being saved or talk about their conversion, and they would say, I confessed Christ. And we don't often say it that way quite anymore, but do you remember in Matthew chapter 10? Because, folks, think about this. Speak up and say a good word for Jesus. Be a witness. In Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess them before my Father who is in heaven. Now, we don't want to disown Jesus, but we don't want there to ever be a time in heaven where he would disown us.
Amen. Well put. Now, when you come and we find that Jesus is superior to Moses in who he is, but also we're finding that Jesus is superior in what he does, okay? Notice verse 3, for this one who has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Now, I underlined that in my Bible. You know, it just states it right out. The writer of Hebrews does not leave you hanging in this comparison of Moses and Jesus. It says, for this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. In other words, yes, Moses brought the law. Yes, he did all that. But Jesus, he built the house. He's the one. And when it notice how many times the word house appears between really verse 2 and verse 6. It's seven times. And it has double meaning. It is talking about the family, but it's also talking, you know, in a way, the reference is a real house, but it's really representing the spiritual house, isn't it?
Yes, the body of believers, yes, and the family of God.
Even really, in the Old Testament or New Testament in this case, because sometimes it's referring back to the Old Testament saints, but sometimes it's also referring to those of us who are in Christ right now.
Well, you remember in 1 Peter where it talks about we are living stones, lively stones, being chosen by God to be built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood.
That's it, yeah.
Did you ever, there's an old That's gospel awesome. Song called Working on a Building. Did you ever hear that?
I don't know if I have or not. Now, that one.
This is a really old song, but it talks about working on a building, in other words, the rewards that we send on ahead, we'll experience in heaven, but we are part of the building. I mean, we are the stones, the living stones. That's 1 Peter chapter 2.
Right.
Living stones, a holy priesthood before God. And so there have been priests, there have been prophets, there's been Moses, but those were maybe pictorial of God and what God would do. But Jesus, according to Hebrews, is superior to all of them.
He is. And moving on, I love the last part of verse 4. He who built all things is God. In other words, he not only built the builder, he built the house. It's from God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all of his house or generation as a servant for a testimony of those things which were spoken afterwards. Now listen to verse 6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Now, what we have is Moses was a servant in the house, but Jesus was the son of the owner of the house, okay? He's
right.
The owner. And so, again, it shows the superiority of position, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. And you remember Jesus gave the parable about the landowner who sent different emissaries and different representatives, and then he said, well, if I send my son, they will hear him. And that's right. Jesus is the son of the great householder who is God. And it goes on in verse 7. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion or as in the day of provocation, in the day of the trial of the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, saw my works 40 years, but disbelieved. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they will not enter into my rest. That's Hebrews 3, 7 through 11. What God is saying is, look, when you know truth, you've been exposed to truth, the Holy Spirit has prompted you and God's got your attention. Don't harden your heart and turn away. Respond to God. Bert, when you harden your heart, the next time your heart's not quite as tender.
It is not. It's a dangerous thing. The fool has said in his heart, no God. In the Hebrew language, it says no God, which can be translated there is no God or no to God, but it says no God. And so when you say no to God, your heart is hardened, and again, you go down. You're taking a chance on a cataclysmic falling that's going down a steep, steep slope, and you want to say yes to God. Yes, Lord, yes. Now,
and have you ever noticed when God calls, and folks, we're just so honored to be talking with you and talking to you today, and if you've never trusted Christ, or if you're not sure, I want you to listen very carefully. When God extends an invitation, it's never later or someday. It's verse 7 of Hebrews 3. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today.
Today.
Friend, the time to turn your life to Jesus is right now. Do you know, Bert, I've never read in the Scripture where the Holy Spirit says, hey, someday if you ever get around to it, you ought to get saved.
No, it doesn't. The urgency, and that's, I think, let me just meddle a little bit. I think that may be lacking in some preaching and teaching is urgency. There's, you know, we've become, you know, a nation that we've lost our purpose, and we've come to church, and we want to be relaxed, and I understand that. We've become casual in our dress, more casual in our dress. We've become a little bit more casual in our approach. And in doing so, again, I'm not saying you have to dress up and do all that. Don't hear me saying that. But we've lost some urgency. And if you're a pastor or a teacher out there, get that unction of the urgency back today.
That's right.
And that's what you're saying, Alex. Today is important. And the latter part of verse of that phrase from verse 7 to verse 11, one out talks about today, and then it says, enter my rest. And that introduces us to a whole new aspect of what salvation is. Salvation is a rest that we come into, and then after we come to Christ, we can go on to victory, which brings a rest. And then finally, there's an ultimate rest, which is heaven, where there'll be no war, no more pain. So my rest has something that's immediate, something that is ongoing, and something that is final. Isn't that neat, Alex? That's his rest is complete, isn't it?
No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And it says, exhort one another daily while it is called today.
Exactly.
Do you know what? We're to encourage each other toward these things, aren't we?
We are. And that's what we try to do. And Alex and I, we hold each other accountable by staying in the Word ourselves, making sure that we are in the Word, but also living what God says. And then when we come to these mics, we're passing it on to you. We're sharing with you. Today is you want to follow God. You don't want to delay. You don't want to put it off. You don't want to do something half-hearted. There's nothing half-hearted about following Christ. It's either, you know, they talk about lordship, salvation, and I know that's a term, but Jesus is Lord, and the only way to know him is as Lord, you know? That's who he is,
Amen.
Isn't he?
Well, he's either Lord of all or he's Lord not at all, and he needs to be number one in our life.
We'll be right back after the break with more of the Book of Hebrews.
I'm a widow. I've worked for a bank for 31 years, and I've been retired now for 10 years.
Myrtle Norris comments on her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I had a lot of financial questions, and Dan Celia was, he answered my questions, and he helped me with a lot of decisions that I made. And then the charitable gift came up, and he explained that to me. I decided to get it, and I'm sure glad I did, because I know now that money is in a place that I know God wants it to be, and also get my monthly income from it. I believe in the AFA and what they're doing, because they're working for us.
Learn how the AFA Foundation can work for you. You can contact the AFA Foundation through Facebook, on our website, afafoundation.net, or call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345. Thank you for supporting the American Family Association.
Truth Be Told with Nate Kellum, Chief Counsel at the Center for Religious Expression.
A recent study by scientists at Johns Hopkins University has revealed that there is no scientific evidence that people are born homosexual or transgender. The study directly contradicts the lie trumpeted by activists that sexuality is innate and unchangeable. It also warns that those who identify as homosexual or transgender are at a significantly higher risk of mental health problems, and warns against parents rashly putting up their toddlers for sex reassignment, noting that children often outgrow such behavior, but not the surgery. The fact remains, people do have a choice over their sexual behavior, and we can't let a social agenda dictate our views of human nature. Truth matters.
Truth Be Told from the Center for Religious Expression, clearing the path for truth. Hear more at CRELaw.org, CRELaw.org.
American Family Radio is for America.
AFR Talk is a 24/7 feeding place of truth. I believe that the Lord has raised up AFR to bring truth in a very important time.
My name is Michael, and I live in Americus, Georgia, and I've been listening to AFR Talk for about 4 or 5 years now. I started listening when the economy went down in 2008, and I just wanted to know more about what was going on in the news and politics. I've been a monthly supporter for several years now, and ever since I made that decision, I have not regretted it in the slightest. It makes you appreciate the programming more, and it gives you a sense of pride to know that part of my money is going to help keep that news on the air and those programs on the air, and I plan on being a supporter for years to come.
Join us for our 3-day share-a-thon beginning October 18th. Listener-supported American Family Radio. 25 years on the battlefront for your family.
Thanks for listening to Exploring the Word, and be sure to tell others about AFR Talk.
The Word of God is spoken. We are changed forever. The power of sin is broken. We are free. We are running to salvation. We have been delivered. The Word of God is spoken. We are free.
Well, we just heard a great testimony of a listener who became more than a listener, and that is a supporter. And that was a great testimony of what God is doing in the lives of many people all across America. And you may have a story like that where God has blessed you by listening to American Family Radio. You may have been blessed by listening to Exploring the Word, or you may have been blessed by listening to Brian Fisher, who comes on the 2 hours before us, or another program. But we would love to hear your story, and it may and possibly be used during Share-a-thon, which is October the 18th through the 20th. So we would love for you to call in and let people hear. Alex and I hear these testimonies when we're on the road all the time. Some of you that shared it with us, just take time to call this number. It's 877-876-8893. Let me repeat that. 877-876-8893. We'd love to hear your testimony of how this program and this network has blessed you in some way. And Alex, Share-a-thon around here, it's an exciting time. We get to work as people come in and share, and it's a great time. But the greatest part for me of Share-a-thon is these listener testimonies, brother.
Well, I know it really is, and I've said this, but the thing that I think is very moving to all of us that invest our time and our resources and, you know, everything we can, is that people come to the Lord and people come back to the Lord. Bert, I was on the phone this morning with Dr. Tim Clinton of Liberty University. Great, great man of God, brilliant thinker. And we were talking about AFA and the reach of this ministry and just what God is doing. And it just seems like, and wouldn't you agree, Bert, that AFA has been around for a long time and done great, great things for many years, but it seems like the Lord has sort of kicked things in high gear, hasn't he?
He has. This is 25 years, matter of fact. That's part of what a Share-a-thon theme is, 25 years. And so it's been exciting, and God has opened up doors. And yes, I would say it is in high gear for such a time as this. That's what if Esther came to the kingdom for such a time as this. I believe AFA is here for such a time as this. The main reason is the gospel. I just want to make it plain. Listen, the gospel is real anywhere, anytime, under all conditions. But when there's freedom with that gospel, you have a mission effort that is unsurpassed, and that's what America has been, and it's been unsurpassed. No nation has ever sent out more missionaries. My personal opinion, and I part of why America is still in existence is because of the mission effort of the churches and Christians that are in America. And part of that is the mission of AFA, to help churches to carry the mission, to fulfill the Great Commission here and abroad. And so I'm gung-ho for AFR, Alex.
Amen. Hey, listen to this. Last week I was teaching a college class, and I found a really great quote from Harry Truman that I had not seen before. It's from 1950, President Harry Truman, who was a Democrat. But he said, quote, "The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teachings of Exodus, St. Matthew, Isaiah, and St. Paul. I don't think we emphasize that enough these days," said Harry Truman. "If we don't have a proper fundamental moral background, we will finally end up with a totalitarian state which does not believe in rights for anybody except the government." Mm. Now, you know, I shared that last week teaching a college class. And Earl Warren of the Warren Court back in the 60s, when, and people, by the way, they thought the Warren Court was very liberal. My goodness, nowadays it would be considered conservative. But it's funny, I was talking about how Chief Justice Earl Warren in 1954 said, quote, "No one can read the good book and the spirit of the Savior. I'm sorry, no one can read the history of our country without seeing that the good book, quote unquote, and the spirit of the Savior have from the beginning been America's guiding genius." So I was on Today's Issues today with Tim Wildman, Abe Hamilton III, and Ed, and Tim brought up the Harry Truman quote about how President Truman said that our Bill of Rights Constitution comes from Exodus, Matthew, Isaiah, and Paul. Now, the reason I'm sharing all that is because, yes, even those that were certainly not fundamental preachers recognized that America was based on Christianity. And we are, it's been lost to such a great degree, but what we don't want to lose is our freedom to preach the gospel and win people to Christ.
That's it, and that is a motivation, and if that's your motivation and you feel like you need to be a part of it, you not only listen, but you become a contributor, and that's during Share-a-thon. But we would love to hear your testimony. Let me give it to you one more time, 877-876-8893. Well, in the book of Hebrews, we've been talking about this rest, and I want to read, and this will be a little lengthy, but I do want to read verses 12 and following. Alex, listen, "Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily." This is what you were referring to. "While it is called today," there it is again, "lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers or partners with Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." Now, Alex, two things come across real quickly. One is today. You better respond when God is speaking. And secondly is the warning of departing and saying no and your heart becoming more and more hard. And God is, and I see the evangelist in this writer of Hebrews. You know, you're an evangelist. Yeah. And I, when we were in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and I was able to preach a real short message, and then you were able to share in the invitation and give what we would call the altar call. The altar call you have is the heart of evangelist. I see this in the book of Hebrews as well. This sounds like an altar call, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, and you know the Bible is filled with altar calls. I mean, the book of Revelation chapter 22 closes out, "Whosoever will, let them partake of the water of life." And Isaiah 55, 1 through 7 says, come, you know. Isaiah chapter 1 says, come now, let us reason together. But let's talk about something that is just so precious in all this. It talks about our confession and our confidence. And, you know, we can be confident in God. And that's why we're continually giving the altar call. Come to Jesus if you haven't given your life to Christ. Be saved. Be born again. And it talks about hold fast to our confidence. Now, we are not secure in Christ because we cling for dear life or hold fast. It means that we are to be consistently walking for Him and with Him, but it's He who holds us in the palm of His hand, not we that hold on to Him with our own strength. And, you know, I think about is it 1 Timothy where Paul said, or 2 Timothy, where he goes, I know whom I have believed, and yeah. I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him until that day.
Sounds like a good song, too, doesn't it?
I know that is a good song. That's in 2 Timothy. All right, the confession that you've made. Okay, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, your confession or your faith. You may have 1,000% confidence. Even way back in the Old Testament, Bert and I went through the book of Job, and, you know, Job didn't have a fraction of the revelation that you and I've got. I mean, he didn't know the whole story. And yet Job, in one of the oldest parts of the Old Testament, Job 19:26 or 25, says, I know that my Redeemer lives.
Amen.
He will stand on the earth at the last day, and though my skin has been destroyed, in my flesh I will see God. Believer, you can have confidence. And isn't that so exciting, Bert?
It is. And the only reason, and I want to skip down to verse 19 and read that, because the only reason you cannot make that confession, and then out of that confession comes the confidence, okay? The confession mm-hmm. in Christ, agreeing with God, coming where God is in your life, then He gives that confidence in what He's done. And it says, so we see, and He's referring to the children of Israel who did not believe and did not confess that they believed that they could overtake those giants like Moses and Caleb and Joshua did. It says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, that's a I highlighted that in mind because the sin that will send a person to hell is the sin of unbelief.
That's right.
And they did not enter in. Now, they had already come out. God had brought them out of Egypt, yes. But His plan was not only to bring them out, but to take them in. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He brings us out of sin, but He wants to also take us into a life filled with adventure and obedience, submitted to Him. And that's the rest that we're talking about. The rest that comes from salvation, we're brought out, but the rest of submission that brings us into fulfilling His will, and ultimately the rest that will be the ultimate rest, the future rest in heaven. So when people talk about going over the Jordan River or going on into Canaan land, and they think that's heaven, I know that sounds good, and some of the best songs are about that, but honestly, Canaan land and across the Jordan River didn't represent heaven. It represented the life that we're to live in obedience to Christ. And
right.
Because guess what? There was fighting over there. There was war over there. There was difficulty over there. We find out in heaven, guess what? None of that exists. And so,
that's right.
But while we're here, we want to go into that submissive rest and say, God, Your will be done in my life. Just like Jesus prayed, Father, not my will, but Your will. Every believer, not only those that's been saved for a long time, but maybe those that's been saved just in the recent weeks, we need to go on to His submissive will, don't we?
Well, we really do. And, you know, let me talk a little bit about the word believe and the word for unbelief. I like words, and some of you that, because I get emails from some of you that are studying, you know, Greek or the biblical languages, Okay, we've talked about this, but the word translated belief or faith is a word in the New Testament, P-I-S-T-E-A-U, pistuo. And, you know, when it says in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, or John 3:16, whoever believes in him, the word is pistuo, P-I-S-T-E-A-U, and we get words like epistemology, which means knowledge. But here it talks about unbelief. Do not harden your heart through unbelief. Now, Bert, you're going to recognize this word here in a minute. The word there for unbelief, they add an A on the front, which is the Greek word that means the negation of something. Apistuo, in other words, not belief. Bert, you ever heard the word apostasy?
That's it. That's, and honestly, this is the only place in the New Testament where that word actually exists for as being used that way, Alex. I was looking that up, and that shocked me. I did not know that. And it's that severe. And the writer of Hebrews, this is one of the reasons I believe, you know, we've talked about who wrote it, you know. I lean toward Apollos, and it could be Paul and Luke combined. But it's a word that had not been used, and the writer brings that, and it says, it's because of their unbelief. It wasn't them deserting the faith. It was them not going on into the faith, Alex. They didn't go on into the land, did they?
That's right. And there is a great image of going into something. I mean, it's one thing to say, I think airplanes can fly. It's another thing to board one and take a ride, you know. One thing is acknowledgement. The other thing is participation in. And my dear friend, it's not enough to say, I think God exists. Or I think there's probably some higher power. No, you need to go into a relationship with Jesus. And the word, you're right, Apollos, as far as we know, probably had a really good vocabulary. Apollos might have been the writer of Hebrews here, but hardening your heart through this apostuo, this apostasy, this unbelief, and I think we live in, at least to a degree, apostate times, because there is so much unbelief right now. And maybe we'll talk about that in the news, so much just almost smug, gleeful rejection of God these days, and isn't there, Bert?
It is. We're going to stop here in the end of chapter 3, and we'll start in chapter 4. And we've got about 2 minutes before. And so I wanted to do this, Alex. Yesterday, you invited people there in the Martin, Tennessee area. We had See at the Pole all over the United States today in elementary schools, in middle schools, and in high schools. And tonight, all over the United States, they're going to saw you at the pole, and you're going to be at one of those there in Martin, aren't you?
That's right. In fact, I'm there now at First Baptist Church in Martin, Tennessee. And oh my goodness, what a beautiful facility. What a great group of people are here. And at 7 o'clock, there's going to be praise bands, there's going to be student testimonies and scripture, and then I'm going to be sharing the gospel. And so, folks, if you can come, I mean, if you happen to be in Memphis or around here, Jackson, and get up here to Martin, Tennessee, but even if you can't, keep me in prayer. Central time, probably 7:20, 7:25, I'll be up to share the gospel. And, Bert, let me say this. I don't know if people saw it, but in North Carolina, there's a shooting today.
South Carolina. In an elementary school, believe it or not.
I know. Yeah. South Carolina.
So we need to pray for our schools.
We really do.
Well, let's do that. Brent's going to lengthen this time a little bit so we can pray, because we try to be open to the Spirit of God here. And so, Alex, I'm going to pray for you tonight, but also pray for those students at that South Carolina elementary school. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you that we can call upon you. I can pray for Alex here in Tupelo, Mississippi, and him being in Martin, Tennessee. And Father, you take those prayers and respond to them, and you bless him. And I pray you'd bless Alex tonight, give him clarity, give him that urgency that we talked about earlier. And in the name of Jesus, we're just asking that you'd speak to the hearts of those that are there. There are going to be a lot of believers there. But it being a student night, there's probably going to be several there that do not have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I pray tonight that there would be dozens that would come to know Christ, but there's also many other things going around like this in churches all over the United States where their students are coming together and they're hearing the gospel. And I pray there would be thousands and thousands of students that would respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we pray for that school there in South Carolina, those teachers, those pupils. I know two pupils were injured. I don't know the extent, but I pray for them and I pray for those parents. Father, help them. And Father, we thank you that we can call upon you and we can just trust you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, we make this prayer. Amen. Alex, we are praying for you tonight, brother, and we hope it goes good, man.
God bless you.
And we're going to come back. We're going to take your phone calls. It's 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We would love to hear from you right now.
Praying for revival never ends. Have you ever considered the thought that once we start praying for revival, we just keep on praying? We don't pray for just a few days and then quit. Scripture tells us literally to pray without ceasing. And in Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6, God said, "I've posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. And you who call the Lord, give yourselves no rest and give him no rest until he does what he's going to do." Will you join me in that sort of day and night passionate prayer for the work of God to be done in our day, in our generation? Not a short-term sort of thing, but a commitment of a life to revival. My name is Dave Butts, president of Harvest Prayer Ministries for OneCry.com.
Christians have an exciting opportunity to help our country this election cycle. In 2012, 20 to 30 million Christians did not vote, and leaders were chosen without our input. That many votes can turn an election. We have an opportunity this year to put our nation back on course. Voter registration is open till October 8th in most states. Make sure you're registered to vote. And then on Election Day, make sure to vote. Be an informed voter. Visit AFAAction.net to get the AFA Action Voter Guide.
The isolation of Israel, the insurgency of ISIS, the resurrection of Russia. Are these current events a sign of a coming rapture and tribulation foretold in the Bible? Based on his new book, people are asking, is this the end? Signs of God's providence in a disturbing new world. Dr. David Jeremiah explores 10 critical issues facing our world and helps us find hopeful answers for an uncertain future. It all starts October 3rd, right here on this good station.
Volunteers are ready, and the time is almost here. October 8th through the 15th will be 8 days of hope for flood victims in Black River, South Carolina. The ministry and those volunteers need our support as they go forth in Jesus' name. Here's 8 days of Hope President Steve Tiber.
Our budget for this trip will be about $530,000. God's going to send every penny. He always does. Please pray for 8 days of Hope. We've got the perfect opportunity to help hundreds of families rebuild their homes.
Please pray for the leadership of 8 Days of Hope as they facilitate this massive undertaking. Pray for the safety of the volunteers as they work. Pray that God would multiply His blessings for those people whose lives and homes were so damaged by flooding. Pray hearts will be open to receive the love of Christ. And pray that volunteers would share their faith and encouragement in love as opportunities arise. If you feel God has called you to give, you can make your donation at 8daysofhope.com.
Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page. Facebook.com/Exploring the Word.
Your words give us life that's never ending. Your words bring us love that never fails. Everything else will fade away, but what will remain? All your words.
Amen. The Word of God will not fade. Amen. If I'm down, when I hear that song, it gets me going. Brent and I nearly have kind of a jam session in here when that's going on, to tell you the truth. Well, we've got callers, but we got a line or two open, and you can call us, and we'll try to get to your phone call. We try to do that as many as we can. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Let's go to Ohio and talk to Wayne. Wayne, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, bless you guys. Hey, this is I just want to tell you, I've been listening to you guys for about 2 years, and you've really blessed me. I drive about an hour to get back to home, and I get in the car, and you guys are coming on. So I just have blessed my study and my growth in the Word, and Alex and Bert, you guys have been outstanding. So anyways, my question, I've come across where growth in the Word is, I've come across where it's just about Christ working through you. Not so much on myself and doing things for Christ, but it's about Christ growing through you and doing things through you, and also about how that relationship is the fruits of the Spirit. And I want you guys to expound on that for me, exactly how that works in both those cases, you know, Christ working through you and how the fruits of the Spirit in relationship with that, if you could.
Amen.
And God bless you and doing the good work.
Thank you, Wayne, and keep listening and keep driving safely. I'm telling you, that does our heart good. Alex, God's got to do something in you before he can do his work through you, okay?
That's so right. What
happens, let me give this idea, Wayne, and Alex will take it from there. And Alex, you think of the fruit of the Spirit. But I was thinking about the peace. He gives you the peace with God, that salvation. That's what he does in you. And then what he does through you is the peace of God that passes all understanding. And that peace brings along some things with it. And the fruit of the Spirit is one of those. It comes and he works that. He brings it into you. It's got to get into you before it can go through you. You know what I mean, mm-hmm. Alex?
That's true. Well, you know, two scriptures I think of in relation to this. And by the way, sir, thank you for listening and thank you for your kind words. It really means so much to us, and we give God the praise. But I think about Colossians 1 and Ephesians 5. Now, Colossians chapter 1 talks about that we've been reconciled to him through the blood of his cross. Goes on in Colossians 1, I think it's 27, says Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we've been, and it calls it the mystery of the ages. The mystery hidden for ages is now revealed to his saints, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so since we've been reconciled, we've been brought near by the blood of his cross. He paid, he rose, he ascended, he sent the Spirit. And that's why we can have Galatians 5, the indwelling Holy Spirit who works in us. The presence, power, work of God begins to be evident through us. And then it says the fruits, plural, of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Lord knows we all need that. And in Galatians 5:23, it says, against such there's no law. In other words, you can't argue with it. People can say, well, you know, what about this archaeological discovery or what about that objection? But you know what? A changed life is pretty hard to dismiss, isn't it?
It is the best one. And you remember what Jesus said? That they'll see your good works and glorify the Father. That's what he does. The ultimate goal for me, for you, Wayne, for Alex, is to glorify the Father. And he does that through the fruit of the Spirit, good works proceeding from what God's doing in us to other people, to other avenues. So he is, if he's doing a work in you, brother, if it's real, it will work through you, okay?
And let me say one last thing. In Galatians 5, you know, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit, or the King James says, walk in the Spirit. But one of the translations in Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit.
Mm.
Bert, I believe for the Christian, the knowledge of the right thing to do is rarely a mystery. I mean, don't you really?
It is. I agree. And a lot of times it's not whether it's right or wrong, is it best? I was taught that right. As a young person in my youth group. Now, that's several years ago. Okay, Alex, I'm gray-haired now, or white-haired, as Brent's smiling, it's white hair. But I was taught, don't just look at if it's right or wrong. Look at what's best. And as for a believer, you go that way. And so I believe it. God reveals it to us. Wayne, thank you for it. We could go on many, many more minutes on this, but let's go to the next caller and go to Louisiana and talk to Todd. Todd, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, thanks, brother. You know, like it says in Proverbs, iron sharpens iron. So this question I got for y'all, in Malachi 3, when he says, you know, I'll send you the prophet Elijah in the great day of, or the dreadful day of the Lord. And that's a two-part question, really. And the second one is, are these two witnesses, you know, in Revelation, are they kind of like the same thing? Are we going to have some kind of evangelistic event happening in Jerusalem and Israel? And I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys. Thank y'all very much.
Okay, Todd, thank you for listening. Listen, if you translate the book of Revelation with, I would say, literal, and I know there's some figurative language in that, but Alex and I were both to take it literally when you can. There is going to be a great, great witness in Jerusalem, those two witnesses, that's going to happen, isn't it, Alex?
Yeah, I definitely believe that. That's in Revelation chapter 11. And, you know, folks, if you go to the AFA store, Bert and I have a Revelation study that we recorded. And it's available, and we go through the whole book of Revelation. And different people have speculated about what Revelation 11 means. It talks about they preach for 1,260 days, but then they get killed, and their bodies lay dead in the streets of Jerusalem, and the whole world looks at it. And it's really kind of dark how the world celebrates that they're dead now. And they resurrect and are, you know, assumed up to heaven. But these two witnesses, they can turn water to blood. They have the power to call down fire from heaven, which is something Elijah did. So some say it's Moses and Elijah, Bert, because of the things the two witnesses do really do hearken back to the things that Moses and Elijah did.
Yeah.
And I believe this will literally happen. I really do. But the caller also mentioned this unusual wording in Malachi chapter 4 that says, I will send the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And so maybe that's a reference to the fact that one of the witnesses that comes during the tribulation preaches, is persecuted, killed, but then raptured back to heaven. Maybe it is some further ministry on planet Earth for Elijah.
And it would represent the law and the prophets perfectly. And so there's so many reasons why you think the only other alternative that people's come in with about the two prophets is it being Elijah and Enoch, because they did not see death. But I agree with Alex. There seems to be, far as the ministries that they do and what it says about them, it's in line, the miracles and everything in line with Moses and Elijah. But guess what? What I believe, if it's not, it's still going to happen the way God wants it. I just want to say this about Revelation and prophecy. If we're wrong, God's still right. Okay?
Yeah.
I just
yeah.
want to get right with God and walk with Him presently.
Amen.
So I'll be ready for whatever comes my way in the future, and you do as well.
Listen, folks, this is fascinating. And by the way, you know, God, everything God does is for a reason, and no detail slips through the cracks. Moses died and was buried by God.
Right.
You know,
nobody knows where.
Nobody really knows where, that's true. But Enoch and Elijah never did physically die. Now, they've been in heaven, both of them. Remember, it says Enoch was not, for God took him, and Elijah got taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. Maybe, hey, they've been in the heavenly realm all these years, and their physical death, because they were humans, will happen during the tribulation. If the two witnesses are Enoch and Elijah, there would be a certain closure to their story, because they would physically die.
They would. And again, Todd, great calling. Appreciate it. Stay in the Word and let God guide you. Let's go to Ohio, back to Ohio, and talk to Phil. Phil, welcome.
Thank you. My question is about the Lord's Prayer.
Yes, sir.
We pray, lead us not into temptation. And my question is, would God really lead us into temptation?
Okay. Alex, we've had that same question before, not too long ago. Is there a little play on words in the Greek language in that area?
Well, it really is there. And, you know, the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, which is found in Matthew chapter 6, God leads us. And what it really means is that in the trials of life, God is not going to allow us to be tested beyond our ability to endure the testing. He will, with every testing, provide a way out, you know, that we may be able to bear it. That's in 1 Corinthians. But the way it's worded in some English Bibles might lead you to think, well, wait a minute, would God tempt me? The Bible says that God, you know, doesn't tempt people to sin. He would allow us to be tested.
Amen.
To grow, to help us to experience new things about His sufficiency, but He would never lure us or tempt us to do sinful things.
And that testing is for our benefit. God already knows our heart, okay? You can't hide anything from God. So that testing that God brings about and also permits, God is active, but He also withholds His hand sometimes, just like it was with Peter. Let me give this illustration. I think it does it well. When Peter was to deny Christ, Peter was there saying, I'll never deny you. He had a spirit of haughtiness in his heart. Jesus saw it. Peter didn't see it. But after Peter went through that trial and he denied Christ, he could see it. So the testing was for Peter's benefit, and he also benefited others because Jesus says, when you're delivered from this test, go and strengthen brothers. So
right.
God tests. He does not tempt. Let's do our best, take at least one more call, and we're going to go to Texas and talk to Teresa. Teresa, welcome.
Hi.
Yes.
I am so glad to hear your hear Jeff Reed's story and to get to find this station today.
Okay, let me update everybody real quickly. It won't take me a second. In the former program, Alex, on Brian's program, Jeff Reed, who used to be our producer, is there. He's a help and commentator with Brian, shared his testimony, and it is an awesome testimony. So go ahead, Teresa.
Yes, it really did. It touched my heart, and it hit me close to home. And you've kept my attention all this time, and I've prayed with you three times. And I really appreciate the fact that you recognize God as the Father and then Jesus as the Son. And so I wanted to share a prayer with you, if that's okay.
You have to do it real quickly. We're running out of time.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Our Father, whose name is Jehovah, who's in the heavens, we humbly approach you at this time to thank you for everything you've done for us and to pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jehovah, we ask that your Holy Spirit will be over the children in South Carolina as well as everybody else that's suffering at this time all over the whole world. Jehovah, we love you. We thank you. And again, we pray this thing through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Alex, listen, we need to be in a matter of prayer. We've prayed one time. Teresa prayed. We don't have time to go to Kyle. Kyle, just call us back. But I think we can take this program out in prayer, brother. Would you mind leading us in prayer and pray for? We're praying for you tonight to be strong in Martin, Tennessee. We've got close to a minute and 10 seconds left. Would you mind taking us out in prayer?
Let's do that, folks. We thank you for listening, and continue on with us tomorrow, and we'll close out today's program with a word of prayer. Let's bow before the Lord right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us, and Lord, you called our name, and you gave us life and the ability to learn about Jesus and to turn our lives to Christ and be saved. And Lord, it is, as your word says, the mystery of the ages, how that you could love us, but we thank you. And Father, I do pray for America, that your Holy Spirit would restrain evil, that you would send a great revival to the church, and Lord, use each and every one of us to tell everybody about Jesus. Amen.
Amen. That's our prayer for you. And Alex, we want to hear a report tomorrow about what God did up in Martin. Will you be ready?
We'll be ready, yes.
Amen. So thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. We appreciate you listening. We thank you for calling. And listen and tell others about this program, but more importantly than anything else, tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.